Hosea, please, chapter 4. Now, this is not a place that I am commonly associated with, closing on a Sunday afternoon. You might think it's like a yo-yo as far as intellect and delivery. But what I want to speak on in these closing 15 minutes of the time set aside for the ministry is the subject of the Lord's Day, particularly the profaning of the Lord's Day. It is just a portion of a larger subject that I've looked at, profaning of sacred things, but I want to look specifically. And I can see that what we're looking at is something that is a consequence of what our brother David Valance has been reminding us of, the opposition and, unfortunately, the compromising of world views. So Hosea chapter 4, we're just going to lift the first part of verse 9. I read this verse some months ago, I must confess. I acknowledge to you that in reading it, it was as if I had never read it before, though I've read it many times. It had a deep impact on me. And quite frankly, I haven't wanted to touch it since. I'm not going to really elaborate on it. I'm going to use it for a launching point, though, for what we're looking at today. Hosea 4, verse 9, and there shall be, like people, like priest. I couldn't necessarily expound on the immediate context as it is worthy of, but the impression I have is simply this. As God speaks to his people through the prophet Hosea, he is recognizing that the waywardness of the people is beginning to affect the worship within the priesthood. To the point where, if you read the verse before, that it is addressed to the priesthood, is as if they are consuming, they are eating the sin of the people. That may be actually the offerings that were brought. They were profaning the very elements that the people were using to worship, though the people that were worshiping themselves did not see the worth and value of what they brought before the Lord. Be that as it may, just this phrase, there shall be like people, like priest. Those of us that are married, some anticipating it, young men, of course, expecting it someday, you've all probably heard the expression, like mother, like daughter. Well, that maybe can help you get a feel for what this expression is introducing to us. Guys, want to get a good idea where you're going to be 30 years down the road, God willing? If you marry that individual, take a good look at mom. That is the mother of the bride-to-be. That's enough of that. But then, do you get the idea what it seems that the prophet is saying here? As go the people, so go the priests in this place. And what this is entertaining my mind with is this, is bringing to my impression is this. We're not going to read it, but you go back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. And Nehemiah addresses the people with great burden of heart relative to the Sabbath of that time. And he says, you have profaned the Sabbath. Now, I am not going to try to impose Sabbath principles and practices to the Lord's Day. Just take it for where it came from. They profaned the Sabbath, a day that God had set aside, not in some kind of deep sense of restriction and bondage, but for their benefit. It was a day of rest. The character of the Sabbath was a day of rest. What were they doing? You go back and read Nehemiah 13. It talks about them stomping out the grapes, bringing the product of their agriculture into the city. So there was agricultural activity, there was transport, they got it into the city, and then they were selling it. There was retail and commerce. All these things were taking place on the Sabbath. And Nehemiah, emboldened by God, twice says, you have profaned the Sabbath. What did it mean to profane it? What does the word mean? Commonly in our language, we would use the term profanity, and that usually is in reference to vulgar vocabulary or coarse conversation. So it's not that. It's taking something sacred, something that God has determined to be distinct and for his purposes, and treating it commonly. Just making it every day. And that's what they had done back in Nehemiah's day with the Sabbath. Now, yeah, it may seem like a great leap. Go from there, and let's go into the New Testament to where you and I are today. But along the way, we're going to stop. Look, first of all, in Matthew chapter 12. We This may just make some sort of a logical link in the subject. Matthew chapter 12, please, verse 5. The Lord Jesus speaks. He says, "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" Well, there's somebody profaning the Sabbath, but they got away with it. Why? Well, they were active. But they're active in what God had purposed for the day. They profaned the Sabbath. They took away the concept of rest from it, but not the way the people had abused it. The priests were doing it in the mind of God. And then just verse 8. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." So this is how my mind is working. When looking at this question, this matter of the Lord's day, how you and I use the distinct privilege of a day. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So this one who is known as the Son of Man is Lord of that day that God had distinguished. And so he had every right, every authority to dictate what was done or not done on that day. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Now what do we call today? Let's turn to it and read it for all of us. Just, we're so familiar with it. Sometimes that's a problem, isn't it? Revelation chapter 1. And verse 10. Revelation 1, verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice." This is a scripture verse that, as I said, we're familiar with it. Perhaps too familiar at times. But yet, when we'll stop for just the moment, we've read it together again, lay hold of it. There is a day of distinction. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Many of us, perhaps not all of us though, and I'll remind those of us that are, and maybe it'll be a help to some that aren't aware of this. Only two times do we get this term, Lord, in the New Testament. There is the Lord's day, and there is the Lord's supper. The word Lord is an adjective in both of those references. It is then giving to the thing identified, whether day or supper, the sense of the character who it is identified with. The Lord's day, the Lord's supper. What was the Sabbath? The character of the day was rest. They profaned it by what? Activities that God had prohibited entirely, without question, on that day. So we have a day called the Lord's day, or some have carefully called it a lordly day. A day that is marked by His person and His authority. It is the Lord's day. Why is it the Lord's day? Why call it that? I think we have no difficulty recognizing that it is a day distinct then from the other. It's not the day of the Lord, that great prophetic day, but it's a day that John had arrived at. He's on the Isle of Patmos. This is before the whole thing begins to unveil. It's not some prophetic picture here. He said he was in the Spirit on this day. Is that something unusual? Well, it's something perhaps sometimes that we ought to know more of, being in the Spirit, being absorbed by the effect of the Spirit in our meditations and our considerations. He heard communication from God that day. That's something of the character of the day. But this is the day. We have no difficulty. It's the first day of the week. It's the day when the Lord's Supper, we're going to see that, was practiced, engaged in, partook of. It's the day of His resurrection. Lord's Day. Day marked by His resurrection. It is the day of His appearances. He appeared at least two consecutive first days of the week to His disciples. Those very things simply themselves bring to that day distinction. Raised that day, appeared that day consecutively to His disciples. He brought to the day something distinct. He made it unique in their experience. Was and is the Lord's day. So it is a day that bears the character of the Lord Jesus Himself. I mean, this may be a little personal gripe, but it's not the weekend. You know, talk about worldviews. Maybe some of you that are in business, you've picked up, actually, Daytimer seems to have refrained from it. I'm naming a product when I say that. But there are different, catalogs, calendar, things you can carry around for your scheduling, business purposes. And I remember having one, and I looked at it, and it went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're stuck down at the end. Why? Well, it's the weekend. I don't know if I used that one or not. I can't remember. Didn't like it, though, when I saw it. It's not the weekend. It's the Lord's Day. You want to refer to the weekend? Fine, do. Friday evening, Saturday. Lord's Day, first day. Day of resurrection, day of appearances. First day of the week. Some would refer to it as the eighth day. Day of new beginnings. Seven have passed. First day, eighth day, new beginnings. It's a day then that is distinct from all other days in the mind and purposes of God, and it's been shown so by those events. Now quickly, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. If we want to occupy ourselves on this day in a manner that is becoming and unaffected by that worldview that we've been reminded of, how should we spend a Lord's Day? Chapter 20 of Acts, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And you know how the story unfolds of dear Eutychus, falling asleep, falling down. Paul, verse 10, embraces him. His life is in him, Paul says, verse 11. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. We could read First Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives instruction about the observance of the Lord's Supper, its distinction, the manner of doing it, the attitude that is expressed between the believers in the assembly relative to it. But there's one thing I just want to take out of 1 Corinthians 11, is at verse 33, tarry one for another. In that is introduced to us the attitude of consideration of one another, relative to the supper, yes, but in common then, whatever's happening on the Lord's Day. I want to just take that whole, that little moment there and apply it to you and I as how we relate to each other on this day. Because we have, in this country, we have the tremendous privilege, generally speaking, this day is afforded us because of our roots, but the worldview has desperately eroded it. Commerce, entertainment, this is their day. It's not the Lord's day. So in Acts chapter 20, the pattern is they came together on the first day. We were talking, a few of us, in the library before the meeting. This came up, and I thought it was interesting that it did, about this event here, this occasion. Why? You know, how is it that Paul got away with preaching to midnight? You know, how come they didn't pull his plug? You know, they broke bread at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, no, they very likely didn't break bread at 10 o'clock in the morning. They probably broke bread in the evening, and Paul didn't preach all that long necessarily. Quite a while, I suppose, but not terribly long. Why did they break bread in the evening, you would say? Think of their circumstance of life. First of all, they did not live in a nation that recognized the first day of the week in any form as distinct from others. The likelihood is many of the individuals in the assembly in Troas were considered slaves, household servants. They had occupation and obligation through the course of the normal hours of the day to serve someone else. Not all the people in Troas likely were of that sort. And the spirit that Paul exhorts the Corinthians to take up, there was consideration on the part of the other believers so that they would gather, they would meet together in the evening. But the first thing they did was they came together to break bread. That was first in the week. To them, this was a day of distinction. Oh, they had been occupied as obligated through the whole of the day. But when they got together, as God afforded them the time and the place, they broke bread to remember the Lord Jesus. You know, they would be tired. Many of them may have been worked extensively through the day, but they did not treat the opportunity lightly. I'm going to meet with the others. I'm going to break bread and remember the Lord Jesus. Their devotion was shown that they came together after all the occupation and the wear of the day. Then, as we said, they broke bread first. They showed their devotion in obeying the Lord and breaking bread at that time. They showed their devotion in spending the remaining time for the ministry of the Word of God, a social meal together, and then fellowship, I would take it, in the things of God as they communed with Paul and one another. Just that picture, to my mind, we are such a privileged people in this nation, but it is eroding fast because of the conflict of values that we've already heard of. We have the privilege coming together and spending this day at large in such a manner. Remembering the Lord Jesus? Yes, what a privilege. Taking the opportunity to teach the Word of God as opportunity is, one to the other. Preaching the gospel, perhaps it was even there. 1 Corinthians 14 would indicate likely it took place there in that chapter. And then, spending time with our fellow believers. I think we're losing something of these basic practices. I don't know where you come from, all of you. Of course, some of you I do. The assemblies where we are, or the region and where we are located. Some things vary, but it is far too easy. I have known it in my own experience. What we do with the time that is afforded us outside of the immediate scheduled hours of the gathering of the assembly. Do we do it in consideration one for the other? These people had a great appreciation. They considered the precepts of God and the people of God, and they spent those free hours of the Lord's day to that end, and they honored Him on that day. Let's not let this world's drift into where it's gotten, whether it's the commerce and the retail opportunities, what we do in those minutes, let's not let ourselves be drawn into that practice. There may be times when you got to. There's obligation. There's things you've got to do. But is it going to be a profaning of the Lord's day so that we let this day become a common day like those that are in this world about us? God bless us.